Do you or somebody that you know struggle with a horrible habit? Is this habit destroying their life? If so, we sense the presentation you're about to experience could change their life.
RU is a biblically based, Christ-centered recovery program designed to rescue, recover, and restore those in addictive behaviors with the power of the victorious hidden life found only in Jesus Christ. Find hope in recovery today at RURecovery.com.
You only live once, right? So you might as well enjoy it. That's the excuse some people give for staying high on drugs and alcohol. And that's the excuse Steve Currington gave for wasting 10 years of his life. When he came painfully close to death and wondered if he would enjoy what came after. What about you? Learn the answer as you listen to his true story on Unshackled. You only live once, as people say, and they urge you to do something you know you shouldn't do, or maybe it's what you tell yourself as you go astray. How do you make the right choice at a moment like that? Well, sometimes you don't. But there's a corollary to the expression, you only live once, and the man in this story would like to tell you about that. It's something he learned when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people who come to Pacific Garden Mission often bring a past full of broken relationships. Bad habits and attitudes keep them from making new ones of any value. Folks at the mission know this and greet them with genuine love, something most street people haven't known for a long time. The mission offers 3 meals a day, clean clothing, a safe place to sleep, plus classes and counseling to help each person. Dental and medical care is also provided free to those in need, all through the generosity of caring friends of the mission. But lives are truly turned around only when each person finds the one relationship that offers love and counsel forevermore. And this story is a good example of that unique relationship. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2554 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, Tim, start the heater again. It's cold.
And it's freezing in here.
Come on.
Hey, who's ready for another drink?
Oh, not me. I don't know what you guys see in that stuff.
Yeah, you just don't want to get busted again.
Hey, Steve, you still doing penance at the rescue mission?
Yeah, 7 hours down, 5 to go.
Oh, man. Is it working?
What do you mean?
I mean, seeing all those drunks is supposed to turn you against booze.
What do you think, huh?
So have another drink, huh? You probably need it after being down there.
Yeah, nobody's gonna bust us here.
That stuff gives me a headache in the morning. It's not worth it.
That's why I like pot. No hangover.
Seriously, Steve, I mean, what is that place like?
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't believe some of the guys that come in there.
Well, you know, you can drink and party without ending up like that.
Yeah, but you have to wonder why people do end up like that.
Why, indeed? The young man in our story had no inkling that he would become addicted to drugs and alcohol. He was raised in a Christian home, attended a church school from third grade on, and went to church every week. This is the story of how he went astray, and more important, how he got back on course. It's the true story of Stephen Currington right now on Unshackled.
I was born in 1965 and raised in Rockford, Illinois, the second of 4 boys. I had red hair and freckles, so I was teased as a kid. My desire to be accepted had a lot to do with my choices of friends during high school. I went to parochial school, but my younger brothers attended public school, so I began hanging around with some of their friends who drank and used drugs. At 17, I began to experiment with alcohol and marijuana. Then was caught drinking at a Thanksgiving party and suspended from school. My punishment was to work 12 hours at the local rescue mission.
Where are you going, Steve?
To the mission, for the last time. Glad it's over.
Well, did you learn anything?
Yeah. don't get caught.
Better yet, don't follow the crowd.
Nobody wants to be the weird one.
You were raised to follow the Lord, Steve.
I got the job at the factory starting next week after school.
Well, your dad will be glad to hear that. By the way, Pastor Paul wants to know if you're going on the mission trip this summer.
I don't think so. I'll be working full time by then.
When will you be home?
Later. I'm going out with my friends after I finish at the mission.
Steve, don't ever get into drugs.
I'm not stupid, Mom.
Oh, God, please watch over him. Keep him from evil and sinful devices.
Party time!
Here we go, guys.
Hey, I bought some cocaine to help celebrate.
Wow, hey, where'd you get that, huh?
I bought it. Here, Steve, you go first.
And no way, man. I know how you get addicted to that stuff.
Sue yourself. Tim, you want to try a line?
Yeah, you betcha. Hey, Steve, you better reconsider before it's all gone.
Yeah. I can have a good time without it. I continued the fight against cocaine until one night I gave in and tried it. I was instantly hooked and gave my friend $50 to get some more. Why not? I was working and could afford it. I didn't realize how much it would cost me. After graduation, I worked full-time at a convenience store, spending most of my money on drugs, most of my time at parties. By then, I'd quit going to church.
Well, pass the milk, Steve.
I have a new job, Dad.
Oh? When that happened?
Yesterday. I was promoted to store manager.
Oh, that was fast. You haven't been working there very long.
Well, the other manager was a Christian, and he didn't feel right selling alcohol, so he left.
Oh, well, good for him.
Good for me, you mean. I got a raise.
Well, I'd hoped you'd go to college, boy, but you're doing all right, son.
Steve, you'd do a lot better if you didn't stay out half the night with your friends.
Mom, I get to work on time and do my job.
You're burning the candle at both ends. It's gonna catch up with you.
You only live once. Drugs became more glamorous to me as my popularity grew with women. I would come home after a night of carousing and see my mother's light on. I knew she was praying for me, and I felt terrible about my lifestyle, but I also didn't want to change. I moved out and rented a house where I partied almost every night. Rock music, drugs, alcohol, and girls.
Hey, Steve, man, where'd you cop this bag of stuff? It's dynamite.
Yeah, it gave me a real jolt.
Hey, you like it, huh?
Yeah.
So do the girls.
I noticed, man, I noticed. You sure know how to draw the chicks.
Yeah, I know what they like, and I know where to get it.
Yeah, but can you get me some, too? I mean, if it's not too expensive.
Will do.
Man, this is the life, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, why would anybody want to be straight?
All those stories about the danger of coke. It's not true.
Right.
You can have fun without getting into trouble with the law.
Absolutely.
And you can still work and get ahead. We proved it.
That's right. Hey, this party set you back some, huh? Hey, did you get a raise?
Yeah. The chain is new owners. Big corporation.
All right.
So things are looking up.
Hey, you move up the corporate ladder and think of the parties we'll have then, man.
I was dealing drugs by then, making lots of money and living a lavish lifestyle. I didn't know then that a stronghold had taken over my life. Not until I flunked a drug test and was fired after 6 months with the new company. That was the beginning of the end for me at age 26. I couldn't pay the rent, so I moved back home with my parents.
You might get hired somewhere if you'd cut your hair.
I like it long.
Well, don't complain about not finding a job then.
I'm not complaining.
You're not really looking either.
I am looking. We're in a recession in case you hadn't noticed, Dad.
Steve, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? That would help.
Sure. The tooth fairy might help, too. Besides, Dad isn't going. It hasn't hurt him.
Oh, everybody has an individual responsibility to the Lord, Steve. Your life would be much better if you'd surrender your life to Christ.
No disrespect, Mom, but spare me the sermon. If I want a sermon, I'll go to church. That's my friends. I gotta go. Yeah, at least they care about me.
Ooh, I'm ready to wash my hands of that kid, Carolyn. 27 years old and he looks like a bum? He's a bad example to his brothers.
Delmar, God can still change him. He's tried every rehab around, but only God can change a person from the inside out.
My My life was going nowhere. I spent that evening with a friend watching TV. He dropped me off at my favorite bar, close to my parents' home, where I had a few drinks and then spotted another friend who sold drugs.
Hey, Steve, what you been up to?
Watching wrestling on TV at Don's.
Well, sounds exciting.
Would have been more fun if I'd been stoned. Hey, do you have anything?
Well, I have some coke at home if you want to go there. Hey, but no credit. You got money?
Yeah, but I don't have wheels anymore.
Well, you better take care of your stuff, old buddy.
Maybe I can borrow my friend Marcia's car.
Well, tell her we'll be right back. I only live like 3 miles away.
I borrowed Marcia's car, and after picking up the half gram of cocaine and slipping it into my coat pocket, we headed back to the bar. My mind was on the drugs I'd just acquired instead of on the road.
Hey, you know how to get back to the bar?
Yeah, I know the way.
Hey, turn left at the next intersection. It's quicker.
Okay. Man, I can't wait to get high again.
Steve, there's a car coming fast. Look out! Stop! Oh, my ribs. Oh, I can't.
Oh, God, I don't want to die. Please, don't let me die.
I was thrown from the car and lay there dying with a lung filling up with blood. I felt so alone in the dark. No one heard my cry.
Steve was wrong about that, as we'll learn in just a moment.
How do you feel, son?
Kinda beat up. How's Todd?
Oh, praise God, he's okay.
I sure was glad to see the paramedics.
Apparently, someone heard you cry out and called the ambulance.
I thought I was going to die.
Well, you might have if it hadn't been for whoever called for help. Doctor said one of your lungs collapsed, and you also have 2 broken ribs.
How's the car?
It's totaled, but Marcia doesn't seem too upset. She's outside in the hall with your brothers.
I feel bad about the wreck. I just didn't see that car coming.
At least you're alive, son. God spared you. Stephen, when will you learn God's way is the only way that's right?
After my parents and brothers left, I lay there alone and thought about the mess I'd made of my life. I was thousands of dollars in debt because of my drug addiction. I'd wasted 10 years, and there seemed to be no way out. That day, my former Sunday school teacher came to visit me in the hospital.
Hello, Steve. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has.
How you doing?
I could be a lot better.
I understand you'll be in here a while.
At least 2 weeks, they said.
There's a Bible right there beside you, Steve. Why don't you spend some time reading it?
I grew up in church, but what good did it do?
Steve, God loves you, but you'll have to accept Him on His terms. Surrender your life to Jesus, and He'll set you free from your addictions. He can heal whatever's wrong.
I can't change. I've tried.
Nothing is impossible with God, Steve. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." You need to accept God's solution.
I'll think about that.
And when you get out of the hospital, why don't you come to church? Meanwhile, read that Bible.
After he left, I pulled out the Bible and read for hours. As I read John chapter 8, verse 32, where Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," I remembered being taught in Sunday school that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Suddenly it hit me. That verse really meant, you shall know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. I felt that God had given me a special understanding, so I made a commitment right then to go to church every Sunday. 2 weeks later, I was released from the hospital, and my parents came to get me.
Are you okay, son?
Yeah, my ribs still hurt, but I can make it.
Well, your dad's getting your coat. You'll need it. It's cold outside.
I've been reading the Bible, Mom.
Oh, good.
And I'm going back to church this Sunday. I promise God.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've been praying for you.
I can't make any promises, but I will go to church. I can do that much.
Here, we better help you put your coat on.
In the pocket of that coat, I discovered the cocaine that I bought the night of the accident. It had been there all that time in the hospital. I couldn't believe it. That evening, high on coke, I went back to my favorite bar and realized I really had a problem. I couldn't even wait 24 hours to satisfy my craving. I had no job, no car, no money, and no future, thanks to cocaine. But I did go to church on Sunday. With my hair down my back and a reputation down to zero, I expected to be shunned.
Hello, Steve. We've been praying for you.
Thanks, Pastor.
We're really glad to see you, Steve. Mm-hmm. You look a lot better out of that hospital bed.
Yeah, but please don't give me a bear hug. My ribs still hurt.
Okay. Right. No bear hugs yet.
I was afraid the church would fall down when I walked in.
No way. God's always waiting for you to come to Him. And so are we.
The prodigal son. Yeah, I remember that story.
Do you remember that the father ran out to meet the long-lost son? Didn't even wait for him to get all the way home.
I hope he feels that way about me.
He does. The Bible says so.
I was surprised and encouraged by the warm welcome. Nevertheless, I was back at the drug house that evening. For 2 months, I was faithful to church and faithful to my drugs. But my heart was being softened by God's word, my parents, and the members of the church. One Saturday night, I bought some cocaine, but had no one to enjoy it with, so I went to a motel. I spent the whole evening ingesting cocaine, alone, drinking a half a gallon of whiskey, alone. Painfully aware of my lonely condition, at 5 a.m. and nearly overdosed, I lay there paralyzed, thinking God would let me die if I didn't keep my promise to Him. I prayed for hours, asking Him to remove the high. Finally, I staggered home, showered, and went to church.
The Bible says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Amen. Jesus died for you, so that you would have eternal life, so that you could live each day with the power to resist the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. We lose our freedom of choice after we've chosen our actions. The consequences of our choices are inevitable and up to God. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 tells us, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17 says, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." My friend, will you stand before the Lord someday and hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? No, no. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Listening to the pastor, I became a broken man that day, November 21st, 1993. I went to the altar and wept sorely for the way I had lived. "Oh Lord, I can't give up drugs without your help. Please help me. I've made such a mess of my life. Please forgive me. I give my life to you, Lord. I know the old Steve has to die. I'm ready, Lord. I want to live for you." The Lord answered my prayer. The next day, I cut my hair and got busy serving the church. My first act of service was to apologize to my parents for all that I had put them through. I went on to serve as activities director for the single adult Sunday school class. That's how I met Lori, a beautiful girl in the church, and we began dating.
I've read about people who really struggle to give up drugs. Was it hard for you, Steve?
Yeah. Without Christ, it was impossible.
I've never used any kind of drugs or alcohol.
Well, you were smart. I wasted 10 years of my life and thousands of dollars. I feel terrible because I was influential in introducing my youngest brother to cocaine.
God will use what you went through some way, someday.
He sure used me on New Year's Eve.
In what way?
Well, I wondered how I'd get through that night without being tempted. Then the pastor announced an all-night party at the church.
Oh, I didn't go to that.
Well, I went. I walked in and discovered the party was for teens. Dodgeball, indoor batting cages, and a movie. I started to walk out when they grabbed me to help with crowd control.
Was it a big disappointment?
No, I had a great time. I was the only one who stayed awake all night. But then I had more practice at that.
See? God is using you already.
Yeah. You know, driving home the next morning, I passed a car full of my old friends. I knew how wretched they felt, but I felt great. God brings so much joy.
Yes, he does.
It still amazes me that he would bring us together. We have such different backgrounds.
Knowing Christ is what matters, Steve.
After 6 months of dating, Lori invited me to her mother's home for dinner. Although she also attended our church, I had never been to her house.
I'm glad you could come, Steve.
Well, thank you, ma'am, but I have to confess it really bothered me to come into this neighborhood.
Well, I'll say. He got real quiet.
Why is that?
I had a really bad car accident about a year ago, right across the street. I started to feel uneasy just driving up the block.
Oh, my. I remember that accident.
You do?
Yes. I heard this horrible crash in the night, so I ran outside. I saw someone moaning on the ground. I thought he was dying, so I ran back inside and called the ambulance.
You're the one? I never knew who called.
Yes, it was me. Isn't it amazing that the Lord has brought us together?
You saved my life. Six months later, Lori and I were married. We committed to pay off my debt, and in less than a year, God worked it out. He gave me a good job at higher pay, and then he gave me a new challenge.
You're writing your testimony?
Yeah. That new family in church wants me to share it with their son. I guess he has drug problems, too.
Is it hard to do, Steve?
In a way. I was trying to remember all the bad things I've done, but I just have to tell all the things that he's done for me.
That's the essence of a testimony.
I'm going to talk to the pastor and see if we can use this to help others. The church printed my testimony so that we could give it to others with drug and alcohol problems. One Sunday morning, an old drinking buddy walked through the doors of our church. I could tell he was deeply convicted during the service, so I went to him afterward. He had tears in his eyes and was miserable.
Hello, Steve.
Derek, would you like to give your life to Jesus? He'll save you from your sins and give you a new life, I know.
I can't, Steve. I don't trust anyone. Not you, not God, not even Jesus.
Look, I've been there, Derek. I understand. Can I give you this pamphlet to read?
What is it?
It's my testimony of how the Lord saved me. Will you read it?
Sure.
I'll be praying for you. Hello?
Steve. Hey, it's me, Derek. I read your testimony, and I asked Jesus into my heart.
You did? Praise the Lord!
I mean, I'm so glad I came to church, and then I ran into you. I can't believe how good I feel now. I mean, I just can't thank you enough.
Hey, not me, brother. All the glory goes to Jesus. God had used testimony of his power in my life to break the strongholds in Derek's life. I didn't think God could use someone like me, but I was wrong. I felt the Lord leading me to help others even more, so I went to my pastor for guidance.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that your testimony helped your friend come to Christ.
It's really true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Pastor, I believe God wants me to do more, to reach out to the lost, people struggling with addiction the way I was.
Be obedient to the Lord if he's leading you that way. He's not willing that any should perish. Are you prepared to disciple those who come to Christ and need more guidance?
Yes.
Good.
We could start a class helping them overcome, teaching them God's principles, starting with Christ. He is the foundation.
Sounds good to me. God said we should go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that his house may be full. The fields are white, all ready to harvest.
God has blessed our lives and our service to Him. Lori and I have a beautiful daughter, and God brought me employment that started as a salesman and led to a vice presidency. Only God could do that. We've chosen Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 as our guide. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon.
The world says, you only live once, so you might as well enjoy it. But the Bible says you only die once, and after this, the judgment. Jesus said, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Friend, if you would like to pass from death unto life, invite him into your heart and life right now. And if you need help in this critical decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Do you have a troubled friend? Tell them about Unshackled, when and how to listen. And please thank the manager of this station for broadcasting these true testimonies that others might become unshackled. This is program number 2554. Heard in the true story of Stephen Currington were Tom Geitch, Mickey Hurd, Lisa Keefe, Steve Bayorgen, Dale Ingram, and Don Stroop. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We really do look forward to hearing from you. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. No problem is insurmountable. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.
We hope that this presentation has helped you on your path to recovery. Visit RURecovery.com to find more information and resources for addiction recovery. You can find an RU chapter nearest you or enroll in our residential discipleship program. If you need to speak to someone about your addiction, call our 24-hour helpline at 1-866-733-6768.
We will show you the very truth about your addiction, but it'll be up to you to allow that truth to make you free, finally.